This is the Sunday before Remembrance Day, so this day we will take a moment to reflect and remember and give thanks to God for those who have sacrificed so much for us. Today we live in freedom because there were those who were willing to fight for justice. Today we live in peace because there were those who were willing to fight against tyranny. Today we live in security because there were those who were willing to fight against evil. Today we remember. We remember those who died. We remember those who suffered and continue to suffer. We remember those who still have broken bodies. We remember those who still struggle with the horrors of war lived out in their memories. We remember those who suffer with PTSD. We remember to honor those who sacrificed that we should have peace. Today we remember that we live in peace, but not everyone lives in peace. Today we remember that we might also ask God to grant us his peace, peace for this world. So let us remember those we have known, those we know, and the countless we can never know. I would invite you to stand as we prepare for our minute of silence.
Thank you.
Let us pray together. Our loving God, we give you thanks for the peace that we know this day, the security that we know in Canada. And we thank you for those who paid such a high cost to ensure that peace and security. We thank you for those who willingly sacrificed themselves. We thank you for families that willingly made sacrifices. And we pray, Lord, for your peace. We long for that day when wars are but a memory, that promised day when wars will be no more. We long for that, Lord. And in the interim, we pray that you would grant us your peace, and your peace upon this world. We ask in Jesus. Amen.
Please stand as we begin our worship.
Sit. I still find that so weird that, like, I need to give permission for people to sit. It's like a teacher or something. No offense against teachers. Welcome. If you are worshiping with us for the first time or pretty new to us, a special welcome to St. Paul's. I hope you feel at home with us and would invite you to stay for a cup of coffee or tea. It happens in Campbell Hall down at that end of the building. You can just follow the hallways. And we hope to see you there. And if that is you and you haven't yet filled out a Connect card, they are in your pews, and I would encourage you to do so that we can connect with you, just looking for a little bit of information so that we can connect together. There is one announcement that I want to draw to your attention, and part of it is a me bad thing. Last week we announced that the AGM was going to be happening in, I thought you were trying to get my attention there for a second, said that the AGM was going to be happening at the end of November. That's not so. I was reminded that an annual general meeting kind of either legally or by statute is required to have financial reports. And in November, we're not going to have year-end financial reports, but we are going to do the budget. So on November 24th, 2 weeks from today, we will have a single service at, it says there somewhere, 10:30, which is not the usual time for us or the usual time for the other service. We'll do it at 10:30. And then we will have lunch together. And during lunch in Campbell Hall, we will have our meeting. That will involve looking at the budget for 2020, but there's a couple of other issues that we're going to address as well. One is to do a fairly significant renovation to Campbell Hall. I think we're probably all in agreement that it needs some work, and so we're going to look at that and look at budgeting for that, and we are looking at two of the funds and amalgamating them together, and there will be terms of reference. So that requires a congregational meeting to do, so we will do that at this meeting. So I would encourage you to plan on being there for that Sunday, 2 weeks from today, and sticking around for lunch and the meeting, and we hope it won't go on too long. The other announcements I will leave with you. Let us enter into worship and continue in worship. Let's pray together. Our loving God, we bow ourselves before you and acknowledge you as God, acknowledge you as Lord of all. We celebrate you and all that you are. We celebrate you and all that you have done for us in Jesus Christ. We thank you for forgiveness of sins and life in him and salvation and hope and peace, all that we know in Jesus. We worship you, Lord, because we know that you are here with us in this place, but also in our lives day by day. We bow before you and worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and seek your grace upon us. Forgive us our sins and heal our brokenness and make us new again, that we should follow you, trust you, and follow you all our days. Our God, all this we pray in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us continue to worship God.
Any other kids out there that would like to come up, please? I see a couple. Awesome. Good morning. My name is Pastor Tammy, and I'm getting to know some of you upstairs. So good to have you all here. Hi. Welcome. Well, today I want to talk to you about how to hear the voice of God. Would that be kind of cool to know? Maybe. So if you heard someone in your house say, Charlotte, we're going to go get ice cream, who do you think would be saying it? Okay. If somebody said, it's time to do your chores, who do you think would be saying it? My mom. Yeah, moms are awesome. Okay, so how do you know that the voice is the voice of your mom? Okay, but how do you know it's her voice? What did you say?
We didn't hear that funny response.
You recognize it. Okay. How else do you know that it's your mom's voice?
We did not hear that funny response. We heard it before.
Because it comes from her mouth.
Because it comes from her mouth. And this fellow over here said, because I recognize it. Yes.
Somebody walkie and somebody want to and somebody want to
thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing. So we recognize our mom's voice because we know her, right? Exactly. And it comes from her mouth. So I want to take that to God. We recognize God's voice because we know him. And how do we get to know him? We get to know him by reading in his word, by opening up the Bible and hearing and listening to what the words say so that we know what God sounds like. So how do you think are some ways that God speaks to us? Any ideas? Ideas? I'll tell you a funny story. And I wasn't sure I was going to share this story because it's really silly. But it's one time where I really knew that God saw me and that I heard God speak. Now, this sounds, it's a really silly story, okay? Well, we used to live in northern Alberta. And in northern Alberta, the bugs are big. Really big. We have big mosquitoes, big flies, and big spiders. Okay? They're big. Well, this one day, we were driving in our car. All my kids were in the back seat, and I was talking to God. And I was talking to God about something that I just, I knew that I had disappointed God. And I was like, oh, God, I'm so sorry that I've done this. But how do I know that I'm forgiven? And the moment that I said that, this huge bug splatted blood completely across my window shield. How do you say, is that God speaking to me? Well, I started to cry because I understood God speaking to me and saying, my blood covers your sin. In nature, God speaks to us when we know what his voice sounds like in the Bible. In pictures, God speaks to us when we recognize his voice from what we have read about him in the Bible. God will speak to us through people. God will speak to us through situations because he cares about you so much and wants a relationship with you. You get it? So God speaks to us in any way he wants to because he loves us. Yeah? Awesome. Okay. We are going to go up to our class right away, but before we do that, I'd like to pray with you. Can we fold our hands and bow our heads? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are a God who wants to get to know us. You get to know us through your word. And we learn what your word says so that we know who you are and that you want a friendship with us. And as we get to know you, we see you in more and more places. Thank you, God, so much that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.
And as the children leave, we'll stand and sing again.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself. Name above. took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You love and so, so kind. Leaves the 99. there's hope for the hopeless and all those who stray. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow.
Be seated. We'll continue our worship reading Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. And he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. And we'll continue taking up the offering, and as we do that, we'll continue worshiping in song.
So
Just before our scripture reading this morning, an announcement I should have made earlier was that the search committee looking for our youth and worship pastor met on Tuesday evening with a candidate. We interviewed a candidate, and we are proceeding to investigate if this is where the Lord is leading. So I would invite you to be even more specific in your prayer. We're going to be doing a couple of things. Trying him out in a way, I suppose, and just pray your blessing for him and for the process, that God will see his will done clearly as we do this. But for now, we will read from the New Testament book of Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21. Let's hear God's word. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm going to start by asking you to forgive me for turning my back on you. I kneel before God to worship him. I kneel before God to worship him because of who he is, that he is the creator, that he is the almighty. He is the one who is holy, holy, holy. He is the one who is love. I kneel before God and I worship him for who he is, but I also worship him for all that he has done for us in Jesus Christ. That God created all things, and that God loved his creation, and he called the people of his creation into relationship with him, to be with him together for always and forever. And yet even in that, his people wandered, his people turned away, his people turned against him, and his people rejected him. But he didn't reject them. He remained faithful, and he is always faithful because that is who he is. And so he called after them. He called out to them by their names to come home to him, to be with him forever. And when they didn't, he pursued them. He pursues us. that the living, almighty, holy God would come to this world. Not in awesome might and glory and power, but humbly and in weakness for our state. That the Almighty God would become human in a baby named Jesus. And that Jesus lived for us. He died for us on the cross and he rose again from the dead for us. That in Jesus' sacrifice we are forgiven and in his resurrection we are given life, life in abundance and life eternal. And God calls us to receive life and love in Jesus. God calls us to receive his grace in Jesus. God calls us to receive Jesus and life in him. I kneel before God and worship him because in Jesus I am forgiven. In Jesus I am saved, and in Jesus I am made to be one of God's children. And so I kneel before God in worship. The Apostle Paul wrote, for this reason. For what reason? For the reason of the gospel. For the reason of the good news about Jesus. Because of the gospel of Jesus, Paul worshiped God. My brothers and sisters, let us join with Paul and worship God. Worship. Worship is the act of acknowledging that God is God, that God is Lord of all, that God is Lord of my life. Worship is praising God for who he is, but it is also praising God for all he has done for us in Jesus. Worship is humbling ourselves before the holiness of God. Worship is reveling in his love and thriving in his grace. Brothers and sisters, worship the Lord. Worship includes praise offered as we sing to God's glory. It includes prayer as we talk with God. It includes God's word, where we hear the Bible read and we hear the Bible proclaimed. Worship involves response, where we respond to God and all that he has done for us in Jesus. Worship the Lord. Worship involves our whole selves. Worship involves our hearts, which means that is where we bow our wills to God's will, where we commit ourselves to God, where we show our devotion to God. And worship involves our emotions, not emotionalism, where our faith is based on how we feel. That's inherently dangerous. But worship involves our emotion. Jesus died for me. If I don't have an emotional response to that, I don't know who I am. Worship involves our hearts. Worship also involves our minds, reflecting on who God is, reflecting on what God has done for us, and considering God's word, considering what God is saying to us through the Bible. Worship involves our hearts and our minds, but worship also involves our bodies, where we have a posture of worship. We bow before God, usually in prayer. In our context, we bow before God, which is a sign of our bowing our wills to God. We stand in his presence as one would stand in the presence of a king or queen. The Lord is in this place and we stand in his presence. And we kneel down in worship, Granted, that's not part of our tradition to do that in our worship services. The pews aren't quite set up for that. But if you ever feel moved to worship by kneeling before God in this place, please move to an aisle and kneel. Don't block the aisle, but worship God. And we can worship God with hands raised. Again, this is not part of our usual tradition. I remember as a child here coming to a Christmas Day service, and there was somebody who'd never been to the church before, was looking for a Christmas Day service, and during the singing of one of the hymns, he raised his hands, and a small child right behind him, not me, saw this and so raised his hands as well, and his dad took his hands and pushed them back down. Let's not do that. I've heard from a few people in this church in the last couple of months that service was so moving, I wanted to raise my hands in praise of God, and I said, why didn't you? It's biblical, you know. We can hold out our hands to receive what God is giving to us. We can just raise our arms in worship of the Lord. Worship involves our hearts, our minds, and our bodies. So worship Him. In a very real way, worship is talking with God. We've looked at talking with God through prayer, where we do most of the talking, and through the Bible, where God does most of the talking. Paul wrote, for this reason I kneel before the Father. Because of the gospel, I worship God. Halfway through this letter, Paul stops to offer a prayer written in the context of everything that he's written to that point, which is all gospel stuff. And he stops and he offers a prayer in worship. And from his knees, Paul prays for the followers of Jesus that they would join him in worshiping God. And the rest of the prayer expresses that talking with God happens in worship. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Out of his glorious riches, that is, out of everything that God is and everything that God has, he will strengthen you with power. That is God's own power given to you, given to be in you, to be worked out through you, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Don't gloss over that. The living God dwells in your heart when you receive Jesus. That is the intimacy of our relationship with God in Jesus. Jesus dwells in our heart, not to possess or to control us, but to be with us, to share himself with us, and to live out his love and power in us and through us. When we worship, when we truly open ourselves to God in worship, we know the power of God from his glorious riches because we know that Jesus dwells in our hearts. Not just by an intellectual knowledge, but we know because we experience Jesus' presence with us, even in us. So worship him. Worship him. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. When we accept Jesus and he dwells in our hearts, then we are rooted and established in love because God's love is in us in Christ. Worship makes us more aware of God's presence and Jesus' love within us. And that leads us to desire to worship him more. So in worship, we can know God's power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. How much does Jesus love you? He loves you more than you can measure. Paul used four dimensions to describe it. We can know the vastness of his love for us in worship. The vastness of his love for you. In worship, we can know the intimacy of his love for us. The intimacy of his love for you. It is the love that surpasses knowledge. Love that is bigger than knowledge. Love that cannot be defined by knowledge. Love that must be received and experienced and lived. Worship the Lord. In worship, we are more open to God's love in Jesus, to know and experience that love. And we can be filled with all the fullness of God. I confess to you, I don't know what that means in its fullness. To be filled with the fullness of God, that is beyond knowledge. That surpasses knowledge. But I can know it because I can experience it. Filled with the fullness of God. Paul finished his prayer with the doxology, a word of praise or a word of glory. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. These verses are worship. And they capture the truth of what we're looking at here. That when we offer ourselves to God in worship, he blesses us beyond what we ask for, beyond even what we can imagine. And the more we open ourselves to worship God, the more we are able to receive from him. The less we open ourselves to worship God, the less we are capable of receiving from him. Worship is talking with God. It is conversation with God, at times with words and at times without words. It is the give and receive of meaningful conversation. It is the growing relationship that we find in meaningful conversation. In worship, we can connect with God in deeper ways than we can in any other part of life. So worship him. Worship him and know his glorious riches, his power and strength. Worship him and know that Christ dwells in your heart when you receive him. Worship him and know that you are rooted and established in God's love. Worship him and know how wide and long and high and deep is the love that Jesus has for you. Worship him and know the fullness of God in your life. Worship him. Worship him. Let us pray. Our God, we thank you for the gift of worship. We thank you for reason to worship you, that you are God, that you are the creator, that you are Lord of all. You are good and righteous and just and holy and worthy of our worship. But you are worthy of worship also for all that you have done, for the good news in Jesus, for saving us in Jesus, for making us your own in Jesus. We thank you for all that you give to us when we worship you. And we thank you for the abundance of all you give to us in your grace when we open ourselves to you fully and completely to worship you. We pray, Lord, for this world that needs to bow before you and worship you. We pray for this city that needs to bow before you and worship you. And we pray, Lord, for St. Paul's, where we need to bow before you and worship you. Our God, receive these prayers. Help us to worship you as you are worthy. We pray in Jesus. Amen.
So let's stand and worship.
Oh, praise him. Oh, praise him.
go in worship. And now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or even imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus from generation to generation, forever and forever. Amen.
Still.